Okay. Doug Froberg just asked me, are you really going to preach barefoot and pregnant? And I said, yes, I am. I feel like I've earned that right. It's Jesus time, people. Let's get serious. When we are little children, we always have that first or second grade assignment in school where we have to go home and write a paper about what we want to be when we grow up. The answers are usually very common. A doctor, a teacher, an astronaut, a fireman, policeman, veterinarian. All great goals for young kids. I, on the other hand, had a much different type of goal, but I'll get to that a little bit later. Our summer series is Bible in the Box Office. Today we're focusing on transformation. What is it about movies that makes us want to transform into something different? Crime-fighting detectives, Indiana Jones, a mermaid. Movies take us away and allow us to transform, even if it's just for a few hours. Transformation is appealing to many people for many reasons. Whether or not it's to escape everyday mundane life, heartache, political strife, or yourself, transformation is appealing. A movie that brings to mind transformation is The Little Mermaid. Ariel, the protagonist of this movie, wanted to transform from her mermaid life and become human so she could be with Prince Eric. This summer, we are looking at different movie clips and illustrating how they relate to a Bible verse. So naturally, I chose The Little Mermaid because, again, it's my favorite. Disney movies always have someone or an animal or something struggling, a compassionate friend, and, of course, a happily ever after. What more could we want from a movie? From Finding Nemo to The Lion King, Disney movies at the end make us feel good. Who doesn't love? And they lived happily ever after. The Little Mermaid is a story about a young mermaid who is adventurous and misunderstood by her family. Never conforming to the world, Ariel is constantly defying her father to seek out a great adventure. From shark chases to escaping the clutches of the evil sea witch Ursula, Ariel is always defying the norm and finding who she is. I remember our teacher asked us to draw a picture and read our papers aloud to our classmates that explained what we wanted to be when we grew up. I was so excited. I couldn't wait to share with my classmates what I wanted to be when I grew up. You see, when I was little, I didn't want a job. I wanted to be a mermaid. Think about it. You swim all day, singing, talking with your fish friends. Sounds like a pretty good gig to me. So naturally, when I sat down to write my paper, all I could think about was how much I wanted to be the Little Mermaid. When I read my paper aloud, the boys all laughed, and the girls went, "Me too!" From that moment on, I knew that someday I was going to be a singing mermaid. I love Ariel. When my sisters and I were young children, we would put on these elaborate plays of The Little Mermaid with full soundtracks, costume, makeup, everything for our parents, friends, and neighbors. Of course, I would have the starring role as Ariel. Our neighbor Charlie would begrudgingly be Prince Eric. And my younger sister was always Ursula. She hated being in the plays because she was either always the villain or I was like, you could be the tree in the background. You see, not only was I the starring role, I was also the producer and the director. But once we got a little older, we no longer put on plays, but instead told the stories of The Little Mermaid and other Disney films to my youngest sister, Hannah, at bedtime. She loved The Little Mermaid just as much as us. Hannah loved Ariel, and she wanted to be the Little Mermaid just like us. She wanted to transform from being human and eventually be a singing mermaid under the ocean. Mermaids, if you're not familiar, are half human and half fish. And when they're submerged in salt water, their legs disappear and their legs become fins. When Hannah was little, she would always ask for a little bit of Morton salt whenever she took a bath. She thought it was Morton salt that would make her transform and make her mermaid's dreams come true. But much to her disliking, the Morton salt never gave her fins to swim in the ocean, just sticky hands and sticky hair. Hannah and I both at one time wanted to be transformed. We wanted to be not of the earth, but of the fantasy land of unicorns and mermaids and talking lions. We wanted to be in a Disney cartoon. I'm going to show you a clip from The Little Mermaid that shows a great transformation. Ariel is brokenhearted because she cannot be with her love, the prince. She is now again a mermaid, and the prince is human. She longs to be transformed to a human so she can be with him. Ariel's father sees how much she longs to be transformed, and because of his great love for her, he transforms her so she can be human. Let's all watch The Little Mermaid.
She really does love him, doesn't she, Sebastian?
Well, it's like I always say, Your Majesty. Children got to be free to lead their own life.
You always say that?
Then I guess there's just one problem left.
And what's that, Your Majesty? How much I'm going to miss her.
See, doesn't everybody feel so look so good now? See, we could go home. She should have had a job, though. The Bible talks about our transformation that takes place when we put Christ at the center of our lives. Paul is speaking to Romans about how the gospel will transform our way of thinking and our way of treating people. He tells the Romans that they are to be transformed not by the law, but by the law of love, which is God graciously giving us his Son, Jesus Christ. Hear now the reading of his word. From Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, in the Message. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. Your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life. And place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you could do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what God does for us, not by what we are or what we do for him. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and functions as a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or a cut off toe wouldn't amount to much, neither would we. So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in the body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be. Paul knows because of his own transformation how great God's love is for us. Remember, Paul was not always Paul. Instead, he was Saul of Tarsus, a man who received money and praise for arresting, capturing, and killing Christians. Saul, in Hebrew, means asked for or prayed for. He would travel to Jerusalem seeking out Christians and aided in their capture. In the book of Acts, we are told that there's a great transformation that takes place in Saul, and he's struck by a blinding light and asked by the resurrected Jesus why he persecutes the Lord's people. He's been blinded for 3 days and then healed by Ananias of Damascus. Saul is then known as Paul and preaches of the resurrected Jesus and how Jesus is the Christ, the only Son of God. Not only does Saul's name transform to Paul, which means small or humble, but his whole life changes. Paul is transformed from a Christian-seeking Gestapo to a man who desperately wants people to know of God's Son and the love Christ has for all of his people. When Paul writes to the Romans about how God's love transforms us, he knew better than anyone what a transformation really looks like. Paul tells us that when we put Christ at the center of our lives, that we are changed from the inside out. We are changed in the way we speak, act, and love one another. What does a transformation such as this look like? So let's go to the next slide. Is this a transformation? Well, it's definitely a change on the outside, but it's not a change on the inside, correct? But it does look a whole lot different. Okay, let's go to the next one. What about this? Is this still a transformation? No, it's still a change on the outside. Transformation is not just a change on the outside, rather a change from the inside. The book of Psalms tells us that we are to pray that God will create a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. The transformation isn't plastic surgery or losing 300 pounds. It's having our insides changed because of God's great love for us. Maybe transformation is instead a young man who was about to marry a young woman and settling, but after a really hard breakup and seeking out the Lord, he leaves what's comfortable, goes across the country, and seeks out to be a man in a full-time ministry. Maybe it's an alcoholic father who's in a car accident and swears as the car's rolling he sees the Lord, and now he's been sober for 13 years. Maybe it's a person who is so rooted in their own depression that they decide to go home and take their own life, but someone tells them that night about a God that would do anything for them, and so they decide to buy a Bible and investigate this God instead. Paul tells us in Timothy that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Jesus Christ might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Paul's transformation shows us that God's love is bigger than any sin we've committed or sin that we will commit. Paul speaks of transformation that takes place in us and is evident to everyone. There's a big change from the inside that changes us on the outside. God does the changing of our insides, and we're to show the change that has taken place on the outside. Our transformation then changes who we are, and that by the way we treat people, love one another, and by doing so, serving the Lord and becoming part of the body of Christ. We are living in a world where our priority is ourselves, and we are fixated on what makes us feel good. The world that the Lord created is much different. Just think how differently the world would be if we loved each other in the way that the Lord commanded. How many people would want to seek out Christ rather than dismiss what Christians say? By putting Christ at the center of our lives, we are accepting the change that He wants to make in us. God comes in and changes us for the better. He cleans us on the inside. He takes away our sin. He takes away our yucky, and He makes us new. People should look at us and see the Lord. They should hear the Lord when we speak. They should feel the Lord when we love people. If this isn't happening, then maybe we haven't fully allowed the Lord to change us. Is it fear, bitterness, guilt, anger? These things too transform us, but not in the way that the Lord wants. We were created to be better than the things we hold on to. We were created to love each other and to love the Lord perfectly and complete Christ's body. But instead, we choose to cling to the wrong things. We are transformed not by the world, anger, guilt, sadness, but we are to be transformed by the Lord, love and grace. It is this transformation by the Lord that allows us to be as the Lord created. Take a moment to evaluate how the Lord has transformed you. Has God given you a softer heart towards people? Has the Lord shown you things in your life that you need to surrender? Have you made the Lord the center of your life so He can transform you? Or are you waiting? If so, what are you waiting for? The right time? When you're more stable financially? When your kids are grown up and out of the house? I'm sure Paul didn't say, "Well, I'll go ahead and transform when I meet my quota." Jesus came to the earth to show us as an example how to live and how to love. Our ultimate goal should be to live like the Lord. In doing that, our purpose in the Lord's plan can be made whole. But oftentimes we fail to allow the Lord to change us, and people don't get to see who Jesus truly is. Sometimes the only Jesus someone will see is the Christ that we have in our lives. If we are transformed by the world, why would anybody want Jesus? If we are to be God's vessel, we need Him to captain the ship. Otherwise, we're drifting out to sea. Rob Bell is a pastor and a Christian writer. He recently wrote a book called Love Wins. He explains that the only Jesus people see is the transformation that Christ does in us. He writes about several opportunities that people have to show Jesus' love for someone, but because we haven't allowed Jesus to transform us, we often fall short. We give an unclear, inaccurate view of who Jesus really is. And I'd like to read an excerpt from the book to you. It says, "When one woman in our church invited her friend to come to one of our services, he asked her if it was a Christian church, and she said yes, it was. He then told her about Christians in his village in Eastern Europe who rounded up Muslims in town and herded them into a building, where they opened fire on them with their machine guns and killed them. He explained to her that he was a Muslim and he had no interest in going to hear her Christian church. You mean that, Jesus? Or think about the many who know about Christians only from what they see on television and so assume that Jesus is an anti-science, anti-gay, standing out on the sidewalk with his bullhorn telling people that they're going to burn forever. You mean that, Jesus? Oftentimes we give an unclear, inaccurate view of who Jesus is. We need to be sure that the Jesus that died for our sins is the same Jesus that we talk about and we represent in our everyday lives. Our ordinary life, our sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life. And we need to take that ordinary life and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you could do for Him. The same ordinary life that Paul was talking about in Romans 12. We are changed from the inside out, and everyone should notice. Just like Ariel in The Little Mermaid, you see a change in her. In that same way, there should be a change in how we live our lives. When we have Christ at the center of our lives, we then have a purpose to serve in God's kingdom. We make the cast complete. Our childhood plays would be missing something if we didn't have a greater purpose. We didn't have Ursula, or the prince, or Ariel, or even the tree in the background. We'd be missing something. Our lives are the same way. We need to be sure that we have Christ at the center, and that people can see who Jesus truly is, loving and forgiving. I would like to close by reading a poem by John Wesley about a transformation and a covenant that he made with the Lord. He says, "I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee, or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee, or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. In the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven." Thank you.